Okay, let me try to explain what has happened. Under the normal circumstances, warrants will be issued on a quarterly basis. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, in order for us to effectively manage the situation, we've reduced that to a monthly basis. Reason for that is twofold. Prior to the election, obviously, various ministries, statutory corporation would have been carrying out the program of the previous government as passed by the budget. And so therefore, that was their mandate prior to the election. Of course, we have made determinations of what is mission critical, what needs to happen, simply to be able to respond to the urgency of the situation. And so therefore, we're in the process of making sure that when monies are spent, they're spent on the things that we want the money to be spent on. And so therefore, that's why I said it causes a slight realignment of the, not just the priorities, but the way monies are spent and what it's spent on. And so therefore, that process now means that with respect to responding to whether it's sewage, tourism, whatever, international business, whatever the case is, that what would have obtained before is that we're only going to be releasing monies for those things that we want spent on right now to respond to the current situation. Now, it does not mean that the other programs of government are suspended, but the reality of the situation is that until such time as we can get to a point where we are comfortable that the government can deliver these services within budget, then we have to determine, in a sense, what is essentially we are going to spend money on, as opposed to what the previous government said money was going to be spent on.
I think that's a separate answer to what I was asking about, because it was in relation to the management accounts and the disciplinary measures. Right. If they do not produce these management accounts, and you would have mentioned that if they cannot show the work that they have been doing and the value they have been right. producing,
what's the consequence?
What is the consequence?
Well, you should bear in mind that and perhaps this is, we are in the process of, well, we started the engagement on state-owned enterprises, mm-hmm. and that should not be lost on anybody in Barbados. Now, some of those reforms will take the course of the next 18 months, but the reality is that the public has been engaged on what is to happen with some of these state-owned enterprises. We've started those engagements internally as well. And the reality is that the very future of some of these institutions, as we know it, in the way that we know it, I think is really where people need to understand that things cannot be business as usual. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm answering you in the way that
no.
I know it's 12:06. We have to take a commercial break here. Just letting you know that this special program on the state of the economy is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Inc.
For business supplies, big or small, and Williams Metals, we have it all.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material.
For building supplies, big or small, and Brilliant Metals, we have it all. And Brilliant Metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Tech Sunday. One of the things that we want to look at, we have another call, but I really want to go before the 12:30 news. I want Shane and Marla to look at some of this better medicine as well, and we can have a discussion of that as well. So let's take the call first, and then we'll go to Marla and Shane. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Is that me, sir?
Yes, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, Sanka and everybody.
Hello, how are you?
Very hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna be brief. Minister Strawn, I'm not going to trouble you at all. at all. I hope to have conversation with you at another time. I hope to pick up a conversation that we had at a Christmas function once. I hope to continue that. For the time being, I'm leaving you alone. Ms. Ducran, there's something I want to ask you about that bothers me immensely. I'm listening carefully, and you're making your case for a reduction in government spending. Another time, a couple of months ago, with Sanka, you said that government spending does not contribute to GDP. I heard you say again.
That's not what I said.
What did you say?
I said government spending does not create growth in a sustainable manner.
It does not create growth in a sustainable manner.
Exactly. Broad,
that's very broad. You're aware of the fact, though, that of the three autonomous injections to the economy, exports, private investment, and government spending.
Right, but then...
Hold your horses. You realize that of those three, right, mm-hmm. that exports is 51 cents on every dollar, or 51% of GDP. I'm using old GDP, not the new one that just came out, mm-hmm. not the new nominal GDP.
Mm-hmm.
33.38% is government expenditure, and 14 cents on every dollar is private investment. So when you talk about having to go and be investment and private sector led, you realize that when you cut government spending, you realize how much you're going to make up in private investment even to get back to nominal mm-hmm. GDP at mm-hmm. the level we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand when you say that. The word sustainable is another thing. We've got to define sustainability. Deficit and debt sustainability. I don't just throw them words out there. I like to leave them. The point I am making is that if you make that, continue to make that case, that government spending must be cut to that, to any, whatever level, I hope everybody realizes that the level of GDP will drop unless you can increase exports or private sector investment by the mm-hmm. amount you can drop by.
Exactly.
So I don't, but so what do you, and to carry on, you didn't say it this time, but you said it last time, right, that the leakages from government spending is 90%.
80 to 90% on average.
Of imports, that is not true.
No, it's not of
that
imports.
That is not true, Ms. Of imports, you said on the last
United
show.
Nations Development Programme.
Forget the United Nations Development anything. 55 cents on every dollar goes to imports. Overall,
that's directly. There's an indirect.
Here in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Don't forget
so,
that.
So if you look
I deal with macroeconomics, we ain't dealing with no breaking
okay,
under
so
the aggregate.
Okay, so do you know what the fiscal multiplier is in Barbados?
Or fiscal multiplier? As it stands at 27 is 1.049.
That's
on the numbers for 2017.
That's not correct. No country in the Caribbean has a fiscal multiplier over
one. If that
is
not correct, all the central bank numbers are wrong.
The fiscal multiplier for Barbados was once calculated by the IDB to be negative. I'm told the fiscal multiplier now is about 0.3, which means 30 cents on every dollar that the government spends.
Forget who you're hearing all that from. The fiscal multiplier is 1, right, divided by 1 minus the marginal propensity to consume times 1 minus the tax rate plus the propensity to import. If you take that formula and apply it to the numbers put out by the central bank for 2017, the fiscal multiplier is 1.049.
So if
don't
the,
mind what you see in other
so
reports.
If the fiscal multiplier right, is if the fiscal multiplier is over one, how can you justify seeing a figure of the fiscal deficit that existed since 2009, I think, and growth being negative now? That makes no sense. The fiscal multiplier is definitely less than one.
It makes no sense on the negative real growth. Or I should say, it makes sense on the negative real growth because we've been using for real growth a base year of 1974 up until last 2 weeks.
Anyway, I adhere to my position that government spending does not sustainably generate growth. And if you look at the Cayman Islands right now is recording the largest fiscal surplus that it ever has recorded, and they have growth of around 3%. Okay, because they have private sector led growth.
Because the external account is high. They run this external
and why is the external account high? Because they have investor confidence and they bring investment in and the government facilitates doing business. That's what you need to do. If you want to rely strictly...
I will not argue that that is what you need to do. All I'm suggesting to you is, that if you, and I keep saying it all the time, that if you try to decrease the fiscal balance at a greater rate and you are able to reduce the external current account, you're going to put the domestic private sector under pressure. And as a matter of fact, I can tell you right now, with current numbers, right, that the total private sector, that's private, personal, business, finance, and other, the debt to the aggregate disposable income is 117.9%. Okay, so I'm not lying when I say that. The numbers showing me.
Everybody going to be under pressure. Everybody, okay? Not just private sector.
And I think that leads well into the bitter medicine that we have to look at. And how, well, let's look at what some of the bitter medicine that could be coming from the IMF. Ms. Motley, the Prime Minister, when she announced the budget, she did say that there would be bitter medicine.
Right.
So let's look at that. Because we're talking now to the households. We're talking to the average Barbadian who has not received their income tax returns for a while. And Mr. Strong can't promise us anything before Christmas. Although he's hinting that it may be possible if and when we get some money from the IMF. But he's not saying anything definitively. So what can we really expect over the next 3 to 4 years? You and Shane, I want you all to be engaged in this conversation now.
Yeah.
We have 20 minutes.
So the three largest line items in the fiscal budget, are wages and salaries, transfers to the state-owned enterprises and subsidies, as well as finally interest. So we know they're dealing with the interest cost because we're restructuring debt. The cost of the public sector via wages and salaries and transfers, which the minister spoke a lot about in terms of reintroducing accountability and prudence, that is where I think the bulk of the next phase of cuts has to come from. And if you think about it from not just a Bajan context, but all over the English-speaking Caribbean, the public sector and the civil service that we inherited when we became independent 50-odd years ago haven't really undergone any meaningful reforms. I mean, 50 years later, we are roughly similar to where we were 50 years ago, and that makes no sense. I think public sector reform, and for example, I will cite the Cayman Islands again and even Jamaica, an e-government and a transition towards e-government is, I think, a must, and that will not only bring a lower cost of running the public sector, but I think it will also bring the efficiencies that I think are very important if you have to have a private sector-led growth strategy. That's where I think, Sankar, the bulk of the quote-unquote pain will come from. I mean, if you think about it, it's as though for 10 years we've been drinking rum and eating fried foods and ice cream and cake, and then now somebody, you've had a stroke and the doctor says to you, you must eat only vegetables and fruit and drink only water. Obviously, your system is going to go into shock, but in the longer term, you will recover and you will become healthy and you will have a healthier lifestyle.
So we're talking layoffs, people going home.
Well, I don't know what it will amount to. I know that in Barbados, the government can't, because of the legislation, can't unilaterally cut the wage, pay, public sector pay can't be cut. I don't know if it will come from a cut in wages or if it will come in layoffs. I can't say, but I'm saying that is one of the largest line items in the fiscal budget, and I can't see how they can escape a restructuring of the whole economy without addressing that that cost.
Shane?
Yeah, so I think the transfers and subsidies component is probably the biggest component. Mm-hmm. Based on what the IMF has published in its last Article 4, they outlined an adjustment path for Barbados, and most of that adjustment was on transfers and subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the mini budget, the Prime Minister spoke about phase 1, 2, and 3. We had phase 1. Phases 2 and 3, she spoke about the state-owned entities and tax reform. So I think those are the two major.
And the government has laid the path by sending out this Survey Monkey.
Right, exactly.
Right on the. I couldn't resist that. On the survey related to the 90, it was 93 entities within that survey, as whether they're essential or non-essential.
Mm-hmm.
So they have already laid the path for that.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we're going to look at basically are job losses.
Well, I can't say that, but what I can say is that if you're going to cut the transfers, you either have to reduce the amount that these entities are spending, or you have to ensure that they earn the amount of revenue they need to earn.
Are they totally restructured?
So they have to be restructured mm-hmm. in some way. That either means they have to themselves earn revenue. So I'm not going to call any entities, but some entities, instead of spending X amount, you might have to spend X plus Y. to use your services. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be laid off. But on the other side, if you don't want to do that, then to the extent that wages are a big component of the operating expenditure of that entity, then there could be. It could be privatization, where someone else takes on the entity, and that person may have a need for that, the size of the labor force within that entity, and they might not need to be a significant increase in or reduction in the labor force. If there is a reduction in labor, of course, then what needs to be done on the ease of doing business side is that the private sector then needs to be able to grow quickly enough to absorb, maybe not immediately, but over time, that labor. Because the ultimate objective of all of this is to ensure that more people are employed and that people can benefit from the economy more than they were able to before.
But is this realistic? I mean, okay, the Prime Minister has said that the cuts will be minimal. There will be no, I think she used the word cutless, no wild cutting or something like that. Sorry, forgive me, Ms. Motley, if I'm misquoting you. But basically she was saying there would be no wild cutting. It would be minimal. But I pulled up last week the whole thing about the transport board and Minister Strawn. I don't want to see him squirm because he ran into hot water during run up to the election campaign when he asked the question if you really need to own the transport board to run the authority, to run the whole transport system in Barbados. And those of you who listen to me know that I have a bee under my bonnet when it comes to the transport board and the whole transportation system in Barbados. I, for one, cannot see why we are going to be spending more money, good money, money that we can least afford, throwing it into the transport board, into the pit of the transport board, when we already have a minibus, minibuses and ZRs that just need to be properly regularized to run the system. But as I said, that's a bee under my bonnet.
Well, I think it's a very valid question. I always marvel at some of the minibuses and ZRs on the road that were on the road when I was going to school. And if they can operate, you know, efficiently at a rate, you know, a bus fare that has been in existence for a while, then they're clearly doing something right, right? Obviously, they might be strategic in terms of the times of the day that they move slowly or quickly and the amount of people they pack into the buses. You know, all those things need to be regulated. But certainly, they're able to do this thing over time relatively efficiently and to make a profit off of it. I would put transportation as one that needs to be looked at. But beyond transportation, that's not the single largest SOE that gets money from the government. And so there needs to be others that are looked at as well. But I think the overall point is that, especially if you're going into an IMF program, the IMF has said in its last few Article 4 reports, these are the areas that need to be looked at. It is very difficult to take another approach apart from that approach. And so we're going to have to prepare for a Barbados that is slightly different in terms of the social services that we access. We either access them, but we have to pay user fees, or we access those services from a private entity that is offering them.
And that brings us to what is going to be starting this month. By the end of this month, we should be receiving some bills from the Barbados Water Authority. Attached to that would be the user fee for the garbage collection.
So like I said, it started in phase one. The Prime Minister mentioned in the mini-budget that phase two will be more comprehensive. I suppose we have to wait and see what that means. But I don't think there's any escaping it. I think, like I said, the ultimate objective of all of this is to restore the credibility and creditworthiness of Barbados so that Barbados, we all benefit from it. But certainly in the short term, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that there will be some pain, if you want to use that word.
Okay, Crystal. The accountant among us here. Is it really fair that people should be paying things like the garbage collection fee, the user fee, in terms of what we face as a country? Do you think that this type of imposition is fair based on the overall picture within the country?
The position we're in altogether isn't fair, but it is what we're dealing with. So, There are going to be areas within the budget, and I would have mentioned this on People's Business, where I think some of the things that were implemented could have been done differently. But overall, the current administration had very few options. And no matter which option they're going to put in place, there's going to be persons who have the ability to pick at it, because you're trying to say, okay, out of all of these horrible options, which one am I going to put in place? And there's no escaping that persons are going to feel a very, not a small pinch, a huge pinch. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult in the face of these circumstances when we know that we're in a recession to talk about people potentially being laid off, to talk about having to take more out of your disposable income. And we've been asking persons for years to do that. I know people talk about the lower income households, but the middle class has also been suffering a great deal as well, because they have mortgages that they're scared that they may not be able to pay. They have family members that they have been supporting that they may have to look them in their face and say, it's either you or me, and I can't help you anymore, and face that emotional stress and turmoil. So to say whether something is fair or not, yes, for, particularly for the garbage one, I think they could have been done differently.
How so?
The application of the 45 in some cases has doubled the water bill for some persons, and some have been crying out that they would have wished it would have been done based on usage.
Yes.
Because it would have then, for those who do not use a lot of water, been may have been a bit more equitable the way how it was done for the fuel tax, because the fuel tax is based on usage, so those who do not use the roads a lot do not pay a lot. But with the application of a straight 150 per day.
Mm-hmm.
Then it doesn't matter if you use one drop of water or if you're a
but
person.
But it's not, hold on. Don't forget, the charge is not on water.
But well, it should be.
The water is speaking as a layman, no, Mr. Strong, we lay people are talking now. You are going to give us the government's position. We don't want to hear the government's position. You put a 150 on us. So we have to comment on what you have done. So you stay quiet right there. The way I see as a layman here is that the Water Authority is just giving us, they have been the vehicle.
Right.
Their bills are the vehicle to be used.
Yes.
But
it's not supposed to be based on usage.
But it's not based on usage, because don't forget, if it's based on usage, then the poor person is going to get hit hardest. Mm-hmm. Because let's face facts, in a lot of these small homes, they have a lot of people, especially in those housing areas and whatnot. And you can find that they would then end up spending more money. But the whole thing about it is that at $150 a day, is that too much to ask for your collection of your garbage?
This is why you say you can't please anybody, because if you go on the $150 a day, they're going to ask if it shouldn't have been a dollar, if it should have been 75 cents. They would have done the analysis to determine that this is the amount of money we need, these are the amount of households we have. We worked out that it's $150 is what's going to help. Persons want it based on usage, because those who pay a $20 or $30 water bill feel as though it's unfair. They now have to pay $45 to $46 extra. There are always going to be persons who are dissatisfied with the measures that are put in place. At the end of the day, the best decision had to be made, and you'll take the licks from the persons who disagree, and you have to go with it going forward. My issue is that there are so many areas in the Auditor General's report that point to disciplinary measures that are needed to cut wastage. So, for instance, one of the things that came up in the budget was in relation to the write-off of receivables. Receivables have been an issue in the Auditor's report from before I was aware of myself. We have to ask the question, are there measures in place to make sure that the receivables that you're writing off, that there isn't money that the government owes to these people, that before they write off how much they're going to owe John Brown, that John Brown doesn't still expect the government to turn around and pay him after you just wrote off a receivable for him? Have we done an assessment to make sure that if you're going to write off for John Brown, when he comes and asks for credit in the future, are you going to be tracking to make sure that he doesn't just get credit again after he's shown that he is in bad faith in terms of paying back funds? So there are a number of things that have to be put in place to make sure that wastage does not occur again. And we can go on for a very long time. There are programs for each area in the Auditor General's report that will help show you the discipline that is required to make sure you don't have wastage.
All right. Well, one of the things that we'll do when we come back is that we'll look at how that wastage can be addressed, and we'll also look at some of the other measures that we can put in place to ease the pain over the next several years and as well get results. We take a break for the latest. Welcome back to Brass Tacks Sunday. This is Sanka Price here with you, along with Brian Strong, the Minister of Finance in the Ministry of Finance, Crystal Howland, Internal Auditor, Shane Lowe, the President of the Barbados Economic Society, and Marla Ducran, Regional Economist. And we're, of course, discussing the state of the Barbados economy. And what we've established is that there will be some pain going forward, and that pain can come soon. And this is in relation to, in particular, looking at the situation of the transfers and subsidies to the state-owned enterprises. And because if you look at the survey that the government sent out and had asked people to participate in, you would find that a lot, in fact, the vast majority of money that has been voted, that was voted in the last budget, from a lot of those corporations, really goes towards paying wages and salaries. In fact, quite frankly, one wonders what else they could spend any money on. And what we want to do in this last hour of the program, or I should say last 45 minutes of the program, is focus on basically something that Crystal Howell raised, which was about wastage and controlling the wastage, making sure that when we earn one US dollar that we can keep it and we can use it more productively. And hopefully we can get some discussion going on that more so than anything else right now, to see if really what is the way forward in terms of what specific measures can be put in place or are going to be put in place above and beyond what Mr. Strawn told us about, in terms of how they've had a very mature chat with the people running the running the different government departments on the way in which they have to do business going forward. So, Crystal, I'll let you take a turn from there. Your concern is about wastage.
Yes. First of all, as a certified accountant and auditor, it is painful to read the Auditor General's report and see so many unanswered questions. So the first problem is that we don't even know where we stand as a country. In reality, there are too many gaps, too many persons who are not reporting what the real financial position is. So we're operating on information that is already uncertain, and not in a small way, in the tune of millions of dollars. So those kind of things can make a position go one way or another, and that is something that has to be under control. The root cause as to where that comes from raises the question as to whether persons are adequately trained, if they're receiving sufficient resources to be able to do their jobs. Something as simple as not having continuous training makes it difficult to be able to say, okay, are we keeping up with the standards that are established for how we're supposed to be reporting and generating the information that is required for the government to be able to make adequate decisions. So they're kind of making decisions based on the best information that's available, but it's not necessarily, well, it's definitely not the most accurate information that's available. So that's the first thing that has to be sorted out.
And this is a major problem throughout the public sector.
Yes. There are several large entities in the last Auditor General's report that have not even submitted any kind of financials at all for the Auditor General's report. How do you do that without knowing what position QEH is in? And we already know that that's something that's going to contribute negatively to the financial position. It's not as though we're going to get those numbers and it's going to improve the situation. And there are several large and significant entities, state-owned entities, that have not produced financials, that are not included in a consolidated position. So if, for instance, there are five of us here and we wanted to be able to see if we could spend $100 on a meal, and I know that you have 20, she has some financial issues, so she's -5 and Shane is 10, we don't know if we can reach that $100 because Ryan and myself haven't even told you what we have in our pockets or if we gonna need to borrow some money from you. And that stops us from being able to reach our $100 target. So you understand any difficulties that they're having because you're asking if we can get income tax returns and they don't even know if they can afford transfers and subsidies for certain key areas in the country. And that's the thing that persons need to be able to understand. Until we understand where we stand, it's going to be very difficult to give answers to some of the questions that I know the Barbadian public wants to have answers to. Do we know if that particular measure that they implemented is going to help? We don't know the answers to this because we don't know where we stand. And as an accountant, that is hard to be able to...
So the measure that the government has implemented, according to, to Minister Strawn, about letting the departments know that within 5 days of a month they have to report, that there is a positive
That's
step.
That's a key control, and I hope that persons adhere to it. And if they have issues meeting these target lines, they need to be able to say why. Because there is, if you do not think you have enough resources, because we know that some government officers are understaffed, including the same Auditor General, and severely understaffed, you have to be able to say these things so that you can be able to readjust either the measure that has been put in place until you get what you need, or you have to ask for what you need. If you don't have sufficiently trained staff, because there's another issue that has been raised, that persons have unqualified staff in the department, sorry, it's only the person that is in charge that has any qualifications. Him alone shouldn't be the only qualified person within the department because he has a very difficult task of then having to instruct persons who are accustomed to the cash-based method of accounting and training them along with reviewing their work. It's going to be very difficult to be able to meet that deadline or that target date. So all of these factors have to be taken into consideration. But if a person has all of these resources and they're still not producing the information that they need to be able to make informed decisions and better decisions for this country, I think that there's some reform that is needed to be able to address that, because it seems as though the government's hands are tied where that is concerned. We can't just be transferring persons to different ministries so that they can engage in the same level of indiscipline in somewhere else. And that has to be looked at instead of us throwing our hands in the air and saying that we can't do anything about it because we're afraid to say that persons need to be disciplined. We also have to look at the other side where persons who are without resources doing their best and giving back to their country above and beyond are rewarded for it. Because it can't just be a whole stick mentality where you're punished all the time, but persons who are going above and beyond with few resources feel as though they get the same treatment as persons who aren't doing anything at all. Those are the same soft skills that I was talking about that needs to be put in place. Once we understand where we are coming from, so bank recs not being done, or you have millions of dollars of unexplained entries, those kind of things, if you understand what's going on, you'll be able to say, okay, hold up, why are these things out by millions of dollars? Instead of implementing a measure where you're asking taxpayers to pull their pockets even more, if I put this control in place, will it stop the wastage of money that I won't have to keep going back to the taxpayers, that I can say the money we are actually getting can stay within our pockets? So you have to go through each area, cash and bank accounts, accounts receivables, liabilities, everything, and see where the weaknesses are. And they're significant. They are very significant.
All right. And of course, that will all have implications for the projections that the government is making. But before we get to that, we have 5 calls on the line. So let's take our calls really quickly, and then we'll look at the projections, and we'll wind up after that. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Brass Tack Sunday.